No. I mean, it's pretty poor work from De Groot there. She needs to up her game. Now, they have swept the court. The wonderful grounds team here have been very busy at that end of that first set. So they've come out with almost like a flat rectangle of chainmail, which gets dragged around the court just to clean all of the marks up. So all of our spirograph circles have gone. They'll be replaced very, very soon.
They will. You can be sure of that.
So much movement involved. As I said, because players can't move from side to side to hit the ball, every time they get into position, it involves doing a full circle around.
First point of the second set goes the way of De Groot, forehand into the net from Zhu. Interestingly, on court, Suzanne Longlin. Now, of course, we know that Gigi Salmon is Daniela Handzukova's coach. First set of that Legends match went to Handzukova and Pirlin by 6-4. I think Gigi then went on court and gave both players a little bit of a pep talk. End result, they're 5-1 down in the second set.
Well, the magic touch of the Empress continues.
So that one looks like it's going to go to a decider. Bright sunshine here on Chatrier. At the moment, De Groot would be absolutely thrilled to get this one into a decider after a most uncharacteristic performance in the opening set. And here a relatively defensive rally from both players until De Groot steps it up with a forehand that flies past her opponent. Chiquito Oda is close, I think, to winning the first set in the men's wheelchair final on court 14. Gustavo Fernandez is serving at the moment at 3-5 there. Guy Sasson has taken the first set against Sam Schroeder on court 13 in the quad final by 6-2. And in the girls' singles final on court Simon Macier, the first set has gone to Tereza Valentova, the number 12 seed from the Czech Republic, by 6-3 against Laura Samson of the Czech Republic. And Valentova is already a breakup in the second as well, as De Groot comes up with another winner. And there's a little more intent about her game at the start of this second set, and there needs to be. She's got 3 break points straight away.
Well, by De Groot's incredibly high standards, it was an indifferent first set. Very patchy, as you mentioned. All of those double faults really telling the story.
Slice first service into the net from Zhu. Oh, full girl actually fumbled it. About the first time I've seen that. Quick recovery. Races to the back of the court. And the second service returned with an off forehand. And then down the line from De Groot. And that is enough to win the point. Although Zhu covered it on the second bounce, she couldn't control her backhand. It was into the tram lines. And it's a break to love at the start of the second set.
Well, and you heard the cry of effort as Zhu tried to reach that ball. The upper body strength involved in manoeuvring yourself around a tennis court at this pace. You think that the surface as well would make things physically more demanding, just as it does for all players, Clay.
Right, let me give you some more details about my cold, Eleanor, shall I? I mean, it all began 2 days ago.
Haven't we got any interviews we can listen to?
I was sitting, actually, in the park having lunch, and I suddenly sneezed. And then within 5 minutes, I was sneezing constantly. Sore throat developed, headache. As that backhand goes across court for a winner for De Groot. And I don't think that the fairer sex understands just how badly affected we are, us men are. I'm sure Stefan would agree. We get it.
Stefan's having nothing to do with this. He's got his headphones on, he's pretending he's not listening to you. He's focusing very hard on his laptop and all his buttons.
Well, but he knows. He came up to me earlier and said, Marcus, I feel very, very sorry for you. These women are cruel. That's another terrific shot from De Groot.
Don't draw poor Stefan into your web of deceit. Poor man's had enough to deal with. He's had to listen to us waffling on for the best part of 2 weeks.
That's why he's looking forward to lying down in a dark room for the next 50. 6 points have been played in this second set. They've all been won by De Groot. But she's having to race across here to play a forehand, shortish ball. Forehand down the middle from Zhu, who's going to let the ball bounce twice and play another forehand to the backhand side of De Groot. cross court, backhand to forehand at the moment. Slice, lots of slice from De Groot. And then a forehand low and just over the net from Zhu. This is probably the best rally of the match so far. Slice again, really stretching for that one, De Groot. And then Zhu goes back behind her and wins the point and roars her delight. It's her first point of this second set.
Well, we've seen how vulnerable De Groot's serve was in that first set. And I think Zhu will be hoping that she sees a few more moments of vulnerability in this set. Because there's a danger, isn't there, that these top players, these serial winners, and De Groot is certainly that. Well, you take a set off them and they come back at you like a wounded animal. Raise their game. That's what champions do.
He went wide there, so it's 40-15. De Groot spent a total of 3 hours and 27 minutes on court to make the final. Didn't drop a set. In fact, only lost 5, 8, 11, 15 games.
Good counting, Marcus.
It's pretty quick, wasn't it?
Despite your illness.
Yeah, that was well, you see.
It's really good.
Yeah. A little tougher for Zhu, who spent 6 hours and 26 minutes on court, so almost twice as long. Dropped a set in the semi-finals to Momoko Otani. Came through a thriller in the end, 6-4, 3-6, 7-6. Also won a tie-break in the first round. So she's had to work extremely hard to get here. She's determined to make the most of it. And she's hanging on in this De Groot opening service game of the second set. She's got it back to juice as De Groot goes long with the backhand. Clouds just passing by. The sun has been ever so slightly blocked out. Still shadows on the court, though.
It's very wispy cloud, isn't it? So
yes.
You think the sun will be able to burn through that. And we've...
High ball from De Groot onto the forehand side of Zhu. She flattens it out. And now she's going to come in and play an off backhand. She's there again. Off backhand is a bit shorter. De Groot can turn around. Almost that she lost her position, but played an inside-in forehand, and now she's going to play the slice backhand cross-court to the forehand of the left-hander. Good depth there. Lots of work for De Groot just to get back across to that one, and she's going to have to race even more now onto her forehand side. It's asking too much. Well played, Zhu.
Well played indeed. Smart play from the Chinese woman. Smart play and resilient play, actually, to keep making De Groot hit one more ball. And what she was doing during that rally was pushing De Groot further and further and further out wide until, basically, the Dutch woman ran out of court.
Oh, she's going to be annoyed about that, though, Zhu. She's dumped a forehand return into the net. Opportunity to get back on serve in this second set. And in all honesty, it wasn't the greatest of serves, but she didn't get herself into the best position. Looking to be aggressive, which is commendable. Very clear call from the line judge. None of them wearing their burgundy cardigans at the moment, for understandable reasons. They would boil alive in those right now. Forehand cross-court from De Groot. Slice forehand. Brilliant pirouetting in her chair, actually, from Zhu to keep in the point, but she's not in it anymore. Good off forehand from De Groot, but it was a terrific sort of 360-degree spin there from Zhu.
And that, as we were saying, is one of the challenges for these players.
She's blocking that return into play, but an inside-in forehand is a winner for De Groot, so she survives another awkward service game. She holds to consolidate the break, and although a set down, the number one seed leads by 2 games to love in the second.
Yes, I can only imagine how difficult it would be to orient yourself if you have to do a full 360 in the middle of a point as the ball is coming towards you, perhaps even between bounces, trying to work out where you are, your spatial awareness. So it's an incredible mental challenge as well as the obvious physical challenge of having to maneuver yourself around the court.
...57 minutes on the clock. Second serve is to the slice backhand, and that return is long.
Lisa has got back in touch. Lisa is in Bendigo, which is a town I know very well.
Bendigo?
It's in Victoria, in Australia. And it's a lovely place. Great student town. That's all I've got to say about Bendigo.
So, hang on. You partied there as a student?
No, I didn't party there as a student. I've got great friends who live there. And it's just a very nice place. It's one of the largest cities in Victoria, alongside Melbourne, Ballarat, Geelong. Do you want any more Victorian population stats? Because I got them. Anyway, Lisa in Bendigo says, I always enjoy listening to you. She said, do they have to prepare the courts differently for wheelchair usage? As I can't watch it, can you tell me how they play? Do they slide, etc.? I can imagine it's very different. Well, it's very different in some ways and very much the same in others, isn't it? As we were saying, they can have two bounces. I think that's the primary difference. In terms of how they move, as I was saying, there's a lot more circular movement because you can't just move to one side or the other as you would playing tennis as able-bodied people play it. You're constantly having to go round in circles.
Big forehand down the line from Ju, and that forces the error off the racket of Didi de Groot.
But no, they don't prepare the courts any differently. The court is same dimensions as it is. They will sweep the court at the end of each set as normal, so everything else is exactly the same.
That first serve just swinging away. Hanchikova and Pirlin are into a match tiebreak against Golovin and Grosjean, having lost the second set by 6-2. And obviously Gigi didn't have a word with them at the end of the second set because they're 7-2 up.
So Daniela Hanchikova is a great friend of Radio Roland Garros, and she was joking around with Gigi at the Australian Open and said, ha-ha, will you coach me for my Legends match? And somehow or another, I think probably through more talent than coaching, together they won the Australian Open title.
Mm.
And so Gigi has remained in place as coach. I think she was sacked and then rehired.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure where the strengths of Gigi's coaching lie, but
she talks a good game. We know
well,
that.
Yeah, she definitely talks a good game. 30 all here, by the way, and just to say, they're 7-4 up in that first 10 tiebreak. Gustavo Fernandez, I wrote him off too soon in the first set on court 14 in the men's final. He's got it back to 5-all with Takita Oda, so they're having a battle. And these two in front of us are having a battle as well. The drop shot is reached by de Groot, but with her sliced backhand, she nets. Sorry, lady, I talked all over you.
I'm used to it. I was just going to say hi to Barbara. Barbara says, I was just going to ask you about the difference between wheelchair and quad tennis when you explained it. She said, I'm very sad it's almost over. And Barbara, I'm really sorry to hear that your cat's poorly.
Oh, yes.
Get well soon, pussycat.
I read that. There's a wonderful little backhand volley from Zhu, but it's to no avail. All landed in a very inviting position for de Groot. She hammered it away. So it's deuce at 2-love. A lot of people writing in to ask about my cold. They want more information. That's very thoughtful.
Really? Where is that?
Well, yeah, I've got this personal email account.
Uh-huh. I bet you have.
Been overwhelmed with condolences and good wishes for a speedy recovery. And if I could just, tell people a little more about how I've suffered.
Back to the tennis.
Backhand is played down the middle of the court from Zhu. And now she's got to race around onto her backhand side again. Down the line, but just the wrong side of the line. So this second set is in danger of really getting away from Zhen Zhu. It's love two and a break point for a double break for the dangerous Dida. Steadies herself, does Zhu, and then serves to the backhand. Lofted return on the half volley from Zhu. The forehand back down the middle of the court. Zhu had to turn awkwardly to get her backhand into play. Slice backhand from de Groot. Very similar shot from Zhu. It pushed De Groot back and it forced the error. Good depth and an extra bit of power there from Zhu to save that break point.
Well, you do feel if she goes two breaks down in this second set against a player of De Groot's calibre, well, there wouldn't be much way back and it'd be almost guaranteed a deciding set. But Zhu's still in this.
Mishit forehand return's going to sail wide. One other thing I will say with regards to my cold, and I'm very appreciative of the chemist. As Lady Eleanor said quite rightly, go and get yourself something. It was just before the team dinner.
I just was trying to send him away, to be honest.
I realised that. And she said, go to a pharmacy. There's lots of them around here. Slice backhand return to the backhand of Zhu, who's now got to make a lot of progress to hit her forehand. Shortish ball chance here for De Groot to take control of this particular rally. She's playing the backhand down the middle of the court, actually, to be fair to Zhu. She's got herself back into this rally. Now she's playing the slice drop shot, which De Groot will get to. Plenty of slice. She comes in behind it. Could she put the volley away? Yes, she can.
I feel like De Groot would love the break of serve here. Just an additional break of serve, as we've said. Her serve has been malfunctioning somewhat today, De Groot. Having that second break, it's always like a little insurance policy.
Crowd really appreciated that rally, and rightly so, and a lovely little volley won it in the end for De Groot. So here's Zhu now serving and clipping the top of the tape. Ball bounces long. The footsteps. Very tall ball girl there doing the job. Second serve, slice backhand with lots of loop down the middle of the court. It's squash shotted back into play by Zhu, who then plays a really good cross court forehand, and she's coming into a shortish ball. She lets it bounce for the second time and then she hammers it away. Full use of the rule which allows you to let the ball bounce for a second time, and she knew exactly where to put it. De Groot nowhere in sight. Game point for Zhu. First serve goes into the net, so it's a little ball boy. We've got a very tall ball girl and a very little ball boy in action at the moment. Second serve, slice on the backhand from De Groot, who's there again with that slice. Lots of loft, just forcing Zhu back a little bit. High ball from her. And a complete miss hit from De Groot, who hangs her head in shame after that. She had the chance for the double break. She couldn't take it. So Zhu gets on the board in the second set. It's De Groot with the break by 2-1. But Zhu took the first set by 6-4. And goodness me, Hanchakova and Pirlin and Golovin and Grosjean are level at 10 points apiece in that epic match on court Suzanne Longlen.
Gotta love the legends. They create so much entertainment, especially in the latter stages, where if you come to Roland Garros and you want the experience of going from court to court, ordinarily there wouldn't be very many matches. It'd be a few juniors, wheelchair matches, but nothing like the concentration of tennis that you get in the first week of a Grand Slam. And being able to come and see players like Hanchakova, Pirlin, Grosjean, Tatiana Golova, Andrea Petkovic is not that long retired, for example. Agnieszka Radwanska. So all these players who are here, you get to actually walk around and watch them. And it's fun. It's lighthearted. You see a different side to them, perhaps, if you were glued to them in their heydays of playing Grand Slams. You might not have necessarily seen much of their personalities because they were so focused, whereas Legends is a lot more fun. It's part of the tapestry of Grand Slam tennis now. All the Grand Slams have these Legends competitions and they're good fun.
However, Gigi's definitely going to get sacked again because Hanchakova and Pirlin have just lost by 12 points to 10.
Oh,
in
dear.
That tiebreak. Congratulations.
It's going to get messy. It's going to get messy, isn't it?
It's going to get very messy. She's going to be in a bad mood, the Empress, when she comes up to commentate on the women's final. She's going to shout at us. She's going to make me do extra dusting in the hotel tonight.
That's why you've been sneezing.
I think
it's all
so.
The dusting you've been doing.
The extra work she's given me. Unbelievable. Cooking everyone breakfast.
That does explain the tummy bug going round.
De Groot serving at 2-1. She's lost the first point of this game. And we're seeing a high backhand into the backhand corner of De Groot. Deals with that with aplomb and then has a similar ball to deal with a little further forward. She hammers that down the middle of the court. Slice on the backhand from Zhu. She's trying to pin De Groot into her backhand corner. She's doing a very good job of it. And eventually that tactic pays off. Persistently going into the backhand corner of the right-hander. Getting it to love 30. Now, Laura Sampson's hit back in the girls' singles final. The all-Czech battle on court, Simon Mathieu. Teresa Valentova won the first set 6-3, but Sampson, having been a breakdown in the second, is on terms again. Valentova's about to serve at 3-4. And Takito Oda has won the first set on court 14 in the men's wheelchair final. Bit of a fight back from Gustavo Fernandez of Argentina, the number 3 seed, but Oda, the second seed, won it just a few moments ago by 7-5. And on court 13, Guy Sasson has taken the first set against Sam Schroeder, the number 2 seed from the Netherlands, in the quad final by 6-2. And they're level at 3 all in the second as De Groot goes into the net.
Now, I was trying to work out, and I hate to come over all Max Wadsworth here, whether we've ever had somebody with 3 Z's in their name in a final here at Roland Garros.
Good question.
So we've got Zhen Zhen Zhu, who has 2 Z's in her first name and a Z in her second name.
As Didi De Groot, who's got a couple of O's in her last name, saves one break point.
And then we've got, obviously, the men's final has got 2 Z's in. Carlos Alcaraz.
Yeah.
And Sasha Zverev.
Ooh. But I reckon matching threes. Oh, my goodness me. Matching 3 will be difficult. Guess what? A 9th double fault from Didi De Groot has handed the break back. So we're level at 2 all in the second set. And quite clearly, the 21-time Grand Slam champion is not at her best today, particularly on serve, where she's about to go into double figures on double faults alone. And that's going to be a concern for her after an hour and 10 minutes.
Well, it's a concern for any player. Losing that break of serve, I think, was looking a few moments ago as though she was pushing for a double break of serve in this second set. And in best of 3 set tennis, you don't have that much leeway.
Go back to the riveting story about my visit to the pharmacy in a moment. Don't worry, I haven't forgotten.
Never mind. You can tweet us at radio_RG. You can email us frenchopenradio@fft.fr. And if you don't do that, you know what's going to happen. Marcus is going to keep talking about his illness.
Well, no, I want to pay tribute to the lovely lady in the pharmacy, which luckily was very close to where we were having dinner. And Eleanor had sent me out. She said, there's lots of pharmacies, just go and find one. Don't be late for dinner either. Not a good first serve, by the way, from Zhu, who's lost the first point of this 5th game, so it's 2-all, love 15. Apology again. Now, overhead, that's a plane, not a helicopter, isn't it?
It sounds more like a plane than a helicopter, yeah.
So impressed at the way you were able to identify a helicopter rather than a plane yesterday when we were commentating on the second men's semi-final. Big forehand, but into the net from De Groot. So I've been sent off to find a pharmacy. And I saw one, and I'm thinking, oh, thank goodness for that. But they normally have like a green sign, plus sign indicating it's a pharmacy, and when the shop's open, the sign is on, and I can see that the sign had been switched off. That's a really good return from the group. So 2-all, 15:30. I get to the door, and they've got the times on there, and it was 7:35, and shop closed at 7:30. But there's a lady still inside serving a customer who'd obviously managed to get in just before 7:30. I tried to open the door. It was closed. Backhand reply now cross court. Lots of work for Zhu, but she's got the ball back into play. In comes De Groot. She's going to put this one away, though. Hammers that down the line. And the lady behind the counter is looking at me and shrugging her shoulders, basically saying, go away. And I put on my most pathetic-looking expression. And she obviously realised that I was suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And she came around and she opened the door.
Just wanted to get rid of him.
Well, she let me in. And I'm eternally grateful because whatever she gave me certainly made me feel better during the dinner. Now, forehand, that's got too much sting in it as well. Two really good forehands in a row from Dida De Groot. And she comes through a game that again threatened to get away from her.
It did seem to affect you a lot the next morning, though. It sounded like you were feeling a bit headachy and sweaty and not feeling that well the next morning. So maybe there was side effect of those pills that you took. Or it was the team dinner. What do we think, listeners? So difficult to judge that one.
Well,
Happy Me's been back in touch. Speaking of legends, I'll be in London the second week of Wimbledon, and I was thinking about going one evening on Monday, Tuesday or Wednesday. Would there still be play on the outside courts then? And are the legends more likely to be playing on the Wednesday rather than earlier in the week? I think from memory, the legends start on about the Wednesday of the second week. They do a kind of media hour, which is usually Wednesday morning. And from memory, and you would know better than this, Marcus, as the king of radio at Wimbledon, but I think they start on the Wednesday. There will be lots of other play on the outside courts. Obviously, you've got junior tennis, you've got doubles and mixed doubles going on. There's always lots going on the outside courts, even in the second week, and that's fairly early in the second week.
I'm just revelling in your description of me as the king of radio at Wimbledon. I like that.
I thought I'd just throw you a little bone, since nice. You're not feeling well.
It's very nice.
But yes, I think Wednesday, I would, if you particularly want to see the legends, I would say Wednesday is probably a better bet than Monday or Tuesday. But yeah. If you go to the official Wimbledon website, which is nearly as good as the official Roland Garros website, then you will find, if you look for the schedule, you should be able to find actually what's happening on what day. So it's not the order of play, it's the actual schedule of when things are due to start and what the start times are and so on.
A deep return from Zhen Zhenzhu, who then spins and plays an off forehand to the forehand side of De Groot. Slice on the backhand now from Zhu, but she's not got that one right. And De Groot's just starting to get into a rhythm here. Break up in this second set, and now at 15 love. Of course, the deeper this match goes, the more her experience will kick in, and the more favoured she'll become to pick up a 22nd Grand Slam title and a fifth here at Roland Garros. She needs to get those service stats up. It's been one area of her game today that has really let her down, but that off forehand return is wide from Zhu. She loves to shadow swing, doesn't she? Particularly when she misses a shot. I guess it's A, it's good to try and hone the technique, and B, you just get rid of a little bit of frustration.
You're taking a pretty big risk to go out wide there to the forehand, that doubles-type return from the deuce court, because Federer's forehand is absolutely lethal.
Is he lost? Is he playing?
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros. Quiet, please. Players are ready.
Well, very good morning and welcome to day 15 at Radio Roland Garros. At Roland Garros, a last day, would you believe it? Seems like it was months ago that we got underway, and then, as we said yesterday, it seems like yesterday that it started as well. But it's an amazing, beautiful day here at Roland Garros, and we're getting set for the women's doubles final, which is the first match of the day. And then, of course, we will bring you live, uninterrupted, ball-by-ball coverage of the men's final between Carlos Alcaraz and Alexander Zverev. But first up, it's the women's doubles, and it's a match between Coco Gauff and Caterina Siniaková. And Jasmine Paolini and Sara Errani, the two Italians. Paolini having played in the singles final yesterday, and very much looking forward to this one in the company of Elena Preston. Morning, Elena.
Good morning, Simon. what a beautiful day it is in Paris. We've got those few sort of very high clouds, but nothing to threaten the yards and yards of blue sky. So I'm looking forward to this one. I think it's going to be very high quality.
Certainly
match, of course, and our players, well, they're climbing the stairs.
Yep, the balls are already on court. Here come the Italian partnership of Sara Errani and Jasmine Paolini. Paolini, of course, having played in the final of the singles yesterday, trying to go one better today by winning the doubles title. And here they come. Errani sporting the wear of this year's Roland Garros, the sleeve on the right arm. Errani, a veteran, 10 years since she got to the final here in the singles. She's very much been a mentor for Paolini. And those two taking their places on the bench furthest away from the entrance, the other side of the umpire's chair. And now here come their opponents, Coco Gauff, looking for her first Grand Slam title, and Katerina Siniakova, who's been here and done it all before several times across the Grand Slams. A lovely round of applause, and yet again, one of the best things that's happened here at Roland Garros this year is the way the crowd are allowed to come in. All grounds pass ticket holders encouraged to come and watch this first doubles. Same happened yesterday, same happened for the mixed doubles, and it creates a fantastic atmosphere. It's already full in the lower bowl. It's going to fill up very quickly, and this one's going to be quite a fun final, I think.
I think it's going to be lots of fun. I mean, they're four really high quality players in singles and doubles, actually, and yeah, obviously three of them have been in singles finals here at Roland Garros, in Paolini, Errani and Coco Gauff. And Siniakova, as you said, one of the best doubles players that we've had probably over the last 5 years. Her record is extraordinary. And I expect it to be high quality. I think it's got a lot of star quality about it, because for those grounds pass holders, as you say, they're coming to see players that they'll be familiar with, that they've heard of. And Coco Gauff, of course, probably the biggest name of the four globally. And that's created, I think, an extra feel of excitement about this.
Yeah, it's a little buzz, isn't it? It's nice to have people that the crowd know very well.
Philippe Chatrier got for this final. Let's start by taking a picture all together facing the side, please.
Coin toss.
No mascots today, because that would just be too many people, wouldn't it? Yeah. It would be like a school photo.
Thank you. A couple of reminders for this match. I call the net, so we have some towel boxes on each corner of the court. Could you please use the orange one and the blue one for you? Okay. Four locations for the shot clock. These two locations here, and also on the scoreboard, so please keep an eye on them. If you have any doubt to the mark, stop, keep the play, say something, please. I will go down and check it. Okay? Any questions, maybe? Nothing? I got the player here, or the ball?
Ball.
This one for them, and the player for you, okay? This is the player you want us. Receive.
So Errani and Paolini won the toss and chose to receive, and then Gauff and Siniakova decided to switch ends, which is interesting given the fact they didn't look up to see the sun or anything or work out what it was. I think it's just a tactic. Go, well, all right, if you want to receive, you don't want to serve, we're going up the other end.
It's seizing control of the narrative.
Stuff you.
Isn't it? You're not the boss of me.
Exactly.
I can go where I want.
So, unlike yesterday when we had the fun job of distinguishing between the players who were dressed in very similar kits and also all four had beards, there are no beards on show today, thankfully, and they're all dressed differently and we all know the players anyway, which is very handy for ball-by-ball commentary, as Paolini, dressed in a yellow skirt and a sort of lighter top, playing alongside Errani, who's in blue or dark blue, with a white sleeve on her right arm. And Siniakova, dressed in a more sort of royal blue outfit, and Coco Gauff in a dark blue skirt and a lighter blue top. And for Paolini, Eleanor, interesting this today, isn't it? Do you think this is actually quite good for her to have this to follow yesterday? It's not like she played badly or anything, but she lost, you know, handily to Iga Świątek, and I think it was a good experience for her anyway. But this is a nice way of her trying to get something extra out of the tournament.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I loved reading her quotes after the match. I'm sure you were in her press conference, but the sense that she said, this is not a sad day, this is a happy day. And I love that attitude. I love that sort of emotional resilience of saying, yes, I got beaten and it's sad, but it was in a Grand Slam final against, you know, the best clay court player of the current generation. So I think she's got a great attitude out there. But yeah, I think it's wonderful to be able to be in the singles final and the doubles final. Coco Gauff, of course, also had that experience in 2022. So yes, I think for Paolini, it's just been an incredible tournament and incredible few weeks, really, when you think that she and Irani won the doubles title in Rome, of course.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that we didn't hear the noise from where we were from the Foro Italico when those two lifted the title.
Yeah, fantastic performance by them in Rome. Paolini and Irani teamed up together this year, I presume, very much with the Olympics in mind as well. That's where you often see a lot of same nationality pairings in an Olympic year. This is their eighth tournament together. No matter what happens today, they're going to go number two in the world on the WTA Finals leaderboard. And as you said, they won Rome already. So plenty of experience together, even in their eight tournaments together. And in Irani, we have, well, someone who's been around a long, long time. 37 years old now, the right-hander, had a famous combination with Roberto Vinci, who are one of seven doubles pairs to have completed the career Grand Slam. So we've got two people on this court who've completed the career Grand Slam in Katerina Siniakova and Sara Irani. And Irani having a bit of a renaissance in her career late on after sort of struggling for a few years, had a lot of injury issues, and good to see her back playing at this level.
When you consider this is her first Grand Slam doubles final since Wimbledon 2014, it gives you both an idea of the size of the achievement for Irani in getting back to this point, and also just the sheer longevity of her career.
Yeah, crazy really that it's been that long since she's been in a final. Of course, Vinci no longer playing, and Panetta not now playing, the Italians, you know, leaving Irani to do it on her own. Well, until Yasmina Paolini came along.
I was going to say, she's not entirely alone, is she, given the absolute plethora of Italian players,
yeah,
all achieving wonderful things. And of course, as a reminder, Italy will have a number one in the men's singles from tomorrow with Jannik Sinner. So a wonderful purple patch for Italian tennis, and to see a veteran like Irani being part of that, you know, I think it adds something to the story.
Katerina Siniakova, former world number one, held the number one ranking for 115 weeks. Her partnership with Barbora Krejcikova, one of the very best in Grand Slam history, won seven titles together. She's won the career Grand Slam. She's also won the Olympic gold medals. Olympic gold medal, not both of them. And she's making her ninth appearance here, having reached the semis or better five times, in addition to winning the title twice in 2018 and 2021. Not bad.
Not bad at all. And bear in mind, you know, this, it wouldn't exactly call Coco Gauff and Katerina Siniakova a scratch pairing, but Siniakova's regular partner, Storm Hunter, of course, got a terrible injury in April this year on the practice court preparing for a Billie Jean King Cup tie for Australia, and tore her Achilles, and she'll be out for the rest of the season. That a terrible injury for Hunter, because obviously wiped out any chance of competing at the Olympics.
Yeah.
She got to number one in doubles. So for Siniakova to have this opportunity to still achieve these great things alongside Coco Gauff, well, I think it suggests we're going to have some quality here.
Well, it's going to be Paolini to get us underway as she serves to Coco Gauff. Irani quickly across at the net, but Goff's back on the ball on the backhand side. Stretch from Siniakova puts the forehand volley in the net. It's for Coco Gauff. I mean, it is a scratch pairing, so they've obviously done very, very well to get to the final. But Gauff, a phenomenal doubles player, has had a lot of success in doubles, has been number one, took that in August of 2022. Played a lot, of course, with Jessica Pegula, who's out injured at the moment.
Yeah, and Katie McNally, she played a lot with as well, another American.
So Paolini goes cross-court to the backhand cross-court of Siniakova, who Just goes straight back cross court, but the depth from Paolini is too good for Siniaková, and it's 30 love.
She's played with Leila Fernandez as well, golf, actually. She's
another good doubles player.
Yeah, and Pegula, as Simon was saying, injured at the moment, has had a neck and shoulder problem, which hopefully is now in the past for her, and she's preparing for the grass court season.
She was also sick, wasn't she, just before, during the clay court season, so didn't come back then. Oh, bullet beforehand from Coco Gauff, goes straight through Sara Errani at the net. 30-15.
And it's interesting listening to what Gauff was saying, that if she wins a Grand Slam doubles title, which has been a goal of hers for some time, amid obviously very lofty goals in singles as well, with good reason, that she might then take a step back from doubles. That might be a tick in the box for her.
Yeah, that's true. She may decide to concentrate more on singles. The return, good from Siniaková, and the backhand in the net from Jasmina Paolini, back to 30-all. Quick chat from the Italians at the back of the court. Coco Gauff's voice travels very far, so you can hear her muttering. You can hear it up here. Amazing. 30-all. The Siniaková and Gauff both standing deep. Siniaková watches as Gauff puts the return in the net. 40-30.
But I think Gauff's got a lot out of playing doubles. Obviously, enjoyment. A lot of players prefer to play doubles rather than spend their off days from singles on the practice court.
Yeah.
And I think for someone who is still developing her game, particularly trying to get more aggressive, then doubles could really be a good developmental tool.
Absolutely. And as Gauff poaches at the net, picks off a backhand volley. For Gauff, somebody who is struggling with her serve coming into this tournament, still needs to make some technical adjustments. Doubles is good because you've got to place your serve really well. Otherwise, you can get attacked immediately by the returner. So it's actually good for her to do this. Having lost in the semis of the singles, both Gauff and Paolini being beaten by Iga Świątek. Return goes long from Gauff.
Them and lots and lots and lots of other people.
They're not alone.
It's a big gang.
They are not alone. Paolini standing at game point. As Errani crouches down low, they're going I formation, so standing right on the centre line. Serve is out wide, return down the line from Siniaková, back down the line to Paolini, who just rips into one of those forehands that we've seen so much over the last 2 weeks and gets it slightly wrong, goes wide, and it's due. So Errani wants to have a look at it, but she's satisfied that it's out.
Yes, it's right sort of below us in our commentary position up on the fifth floor here. We are opposite the President's Tribune, and we could see that it was just wide of the tram line.
Gauff waits to return at deuce. Good serve onto the service line from Paolini with plenty of power. Gauff had to move backwards to hit the next forehand. Good forehand to forehand rally from these two. They're going cross court. Who's going to change it up first, if anyone? Great depth from Paolini. Now she goes after a forehand down the middle. It's a beauty. Straight past Siniaková at the net.
One of the things I really like about women's doubles, actually, is you do see a sort of showcase of the forehand.
Yeah.
A lot of forehand-to-forehand rallies. Much more so than in men's doubles.
Yeah, the difference. The serve in men's doubles is such a weapon, so the rallies are often shorter. Plenty of long rallies in women's doubles. As the backhand return from Siniaková pushes Paolini back behind the baseline. Siniaková tries to go with a better angle across the court. Errani was poaching. She doesn't have to pick it off because it goes in the net. The Italians hold in the opening game of this match.
Well, they're not supposed to be stopping and they're not supposed to be having a drink, but they're doing exactly that, as everyone always does.
Almost everyone has a drink. A few players don't. Not many, but Alexander Zverev is one who just walks straight round.
Yes, I noticed the wheelchair players yesterday in the women's wheelchair final didn't muck about. It was just straight round. But it's not blisteringly hot. It's certainly not cool. It's probably about 23 degrees here this morning in Paris.
I think it feels to me a bit warmer than previous days. It's maybe to be this warm this early is
yes.
Pretty unusual. So
yeah, it might be hot for the men's final this afternoon.
It's a lovely temperature right now, that's for sure, for playing, as it's Coco Gauff who starts her service game with a clever lob as Irani tried to poach, but now Paolini can attack on the forehand, but she puts a volley in the net after Goff stands tall at the net.
Yeah, Paolini just trying to volley out of thin air in mid-court, so not necessarily the best choice of shot in that moment, but sterling work from Goff.
Wearing a yellow visor, always dresses very smartly. Goff and her team pick some pretty good outfits. As she serves down the tee, volley should be picked off by Siniakova, and it is on the backhand.
Yes, and a different outfit for doubles than she wears for singles. She obviously has a doubles uniform.
Gets her doubles head on. Different mentality in doubles to singles sometimes. Serve down the tee, hits the tape. Do get in touch if you have any thoughts about this match, or perhaps if you're thinking about what might happen later on today between Alcaraz and Zverev as they go head-to-head for the men's title. Who's going to win that one? Who's your favourite? Will it be long? Or will it be Zverev winning his first Grand Slam title, or will it be Alcaraz winning his third? And if Alcaraz wins, he joins a select band of people to have won three Grand Slams on three different surfaces. Irani hooks a forehand. You can hear the effort that Irani puts in. Paolini gets in her way, and Irani misses the forehand.
We've also been asking you to conjure up perhaps your favourite moments of Roland Garros 2024. It could be a moment on Radio Roland Garros, or it could just be that you came to watch and you had a special interaction with a player, or you watched a particularly exciting match, or something occurred to you that will always make you think of this tournament. So you can tweet us at radio_RG. You can email us frenchopenradio@fft.fr.
Right, Goff's held. And now we're into the Irani service game. Irani's served the weakest part of her game and the weakest server on the court in terms of power. There's plenty of kick. She's worked on her serve quite a lot in the last couple of years. She used to have an abbreviated swing on the serve as she picks out a half volley, but she should get picked off by Goff. But actually good reactions from Paolini, who's back into the rally cross court with Siniakova, goes into the forehand corner. That's going to be picked off, though. The depth of the shot from Paolini allowed Irani to move forward. Irani takes the forehand volley and puts it away.
Yeah, perfect partnership from Irani and Paolini there. Paolini earns the short ball, Irani collects on the debt.
Dirty love on the Italian serve. Irani kicking the first serve, but just out. Yeah, she used to have an abbreviated ball toss, abbreviated racket take back, but now she's switched back to the full backswing. Just catches the ball toss. She's having a few problems with her ball toss and where the placement of it. But she's into this rally with Goff as she goes forehand into the net to Irani. Breeze picks up. All of a sudden, the sun's gone behind a cloud too. 30-15.
Just when we were saying the weather was nice.
It is nice.
It's gone behind a cloud. It's not gone behind the sort of wall-to-wall grey cloud that we had in week one.
It's a good forecast today for the final day of Roland Garros.
What's been your moment? I'll give you time to think about it.
It's quite hard when I'm doing ball by ball.
It is. I should have asked you before.
Yeah, we could have prepared. 30-all, because that's the first double fault from Irani, who's having a few issues on that serve. Said it's the weakest part of her game. It's actually, you know, when you break down her game, it's amazing what she's been able to achieve with a serve that's quite vulnerable. The rest of her game has been so good, and she's such a fighter. 30-all, forehand to the forehand of Coco Gauff, but the forehand hits the tape and goes wide and just looks a little bit tight, Irani. Not fully flowing on the ground strokes yet, and it's break point to the American-Czech combination. Had a Czech winner of the girls' singles yesterday. Again. There are lots of them around. Slow kicking serve from Irani to the backhand of Siniakova. Goff looking to poach. Oh, that ball lands just inside the sideline on the backhand of Irani. She goes up the line. Goff's there on the forehand volley. Goff's trying to pick off the volley. She's not going to, because Irani whips the forehand up the line. And it's juice.
Great work from Irani there.
Yeah, she did well because she knew that Goff was moving and could be looking to snatch that forehand, that backhand volley, but she kept the ball away from her. And now it's Deuce as she spins a serve to the forehand of Goff. Another forehand's pretty short, and Paolini, a bit of a sitting duck at the net as Goff hammers it at her, and Paolini sends the volley long.
Great returning from the American there, creating the opportunity. Now you can hear the Italians just G'ing themselves up as Irani now serves to Siniakova.
Yeah, strange, they're saying LA, LA. Interesting.
Not Forza.
Exactly, which they probably will do. As backhand to backhand they go, oh, the lob from Irani is short over Goff's head and back on top of Goff's head, and she wallops it away. The first break of serve goes to the Goff-Siniakova combination. They lead 2-1.
Well, Mariana, thank you for getting in touch. We know that you're definitely a big part of the Radio Roland Garros family.
Absolutely.
Good morning, Lady Eleanor and Simon. You are really doing all the hard work in this team. I know, Mariana, we know. I will be completely discombobulated tomorrow, so I just wanted to thank the whole team. And bien sûr, Stefan, for the best 2 weeks of the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we also want to thank you, Mariana, and everybody who's tweeted us, emailed us, sent us silly tennis player food names, gone along with our ridiculous jokes.
What was yesterday? Richard Swiss Chard. No, Swiss Chard Gasquet. That's brilliant. That's my favourite.
I don't know. I have a soft spot for Naomi Musaka.
Yeah, that's good too.
Vishal says, good afternoon from India. It's 3:15 p.m. here, and I'm having a relaxing Sunday. I enjoyed the Iga domination. My heart goes out to Coco and Paolini. I wish they both win this doubles final. But only one could win. In the men's final, I think Alcaraz will win as he's back in his full form.
Yep. Thank you, Vishal. I think Alcaraz is the slight favourite, having won two slams. But Zverev, of course, won Rome and is into the final here for the first time after four semis. So obviously playing very well and promises to be an intriguing final. Zverev's had a lot of long matches. Of course, Alcaraz going 5 in the semis. How will that affect him? How will the nerves affect both players? We will find out later on. Gigi and Marcus will bring you that one. Siniakova serving at 2-1, 15-love. Spider cam is positioned right in the way from our point of view. Can it move, please? Does Spider cam listen to us if we say Spider cam, rise?
Spider cam, Spider cam.
Big return from Irani, but Goff stands there on the volley, does well to keep that ball away from her. In the end, though, Irani with an easy forehand just puts it straight through Goff, and it's 15 all.
They were almost nose to nose there, they Irani were. And Goff. The rally back and forth.
Yeah, you'll see lots of down-the-line returns. You're just trying to catch the net player off guard. As Siniakova serves into the net, Goff was playing the I formation, standing on the centre line, crouching down low. Now she's moved back to the more regular position. Siniakova serving from quite wide in the court. She spins the serve to the forehand of Paolini. Goes after a forehand with a bit more power. Paolini hits with a lot of height. Irani thinks about poaching, doesn't. Goff does and puts it away. 15-30. It's a good start from Goff and Siniakova.
A really good start, and Goff not afraid to poach, not afraid to impose herself, and that's your job as the net player. Your job is to be ready, coordinate with your server.
You got to move. The key is footwork, movement in the doubles is so important. As Goff moves quickly back to a smash, doesn't quite put it away though, because Paolini does a great job in getting the backhand back into play. And now they go backhand to backhand. Rally from Siniakova and Irani on the backhand side. Siniakova to the backhand of Irani, testing the patience of the Italian, who's got the depth to deal with as Siniakova tries to push her back. Irani now starts to come forward here on the backhand volley. It's a nice one. It's short. Siniakova gets there, tries to carve under the ball to get the ball over the net, but can't.
What a clever change-up from Irani there. There they were, happily trading forehand blows, cross-court. And then Irani suddenly just switches up the play with that crafty little bit of slice.
Well, it was a good smart move into the net and then a good knifed volley. Siniakova and Goff, 30 all, by formation again. serve out wide. Goff should get to the backhand volley. She does, but the ball's not put away. Paolini can't control the forehand. She leaped up to gather it, and it's game point, Siniaková and Goff. Good chat at the back of the court, Siniaková, Goff, little fist bump. Regulation formation for them on the ad court. Siniaková serves. Kick serve to the backhand of Irani. The effort from Irani to get back in position. Now the backhand down the line from Siniaková to Paolini, who's on the forehand. She whips one cross court past Goff, who was looking to intercept, and it's back to Juice.
And that's how Paolini has got to the position where she's been in two Roland Garros finals this year. Great play from the Italian. That forehand is a real weapon, isn't it, for Paolini? Yeah. It's a thing of beauty.
A bit like a lasso, that one.
Yeah, a lot of whip on it.
Pulled it cross court. Oh, Goff makes a mess of a volley at the net. And it's breakback point. Should have. Sometimes, you know, Goff is a decent volleyer, but not a natural volleyer. So in that position, she just snatched at it, tried to smash it away. All she had to do was just drop it, stone dead. That would have been the easier one. Good serve from Siniaková. Hooked return over the head of Goff by Irani, who then goes at Goff as a pigeon moves across the court. Siniaková down the line with a forehand. Backhand up the line to Paolini's forehand. What's Goff doing at the net? She's moving, looking again, but remember what Paolini did last time. Now Paolini goes with a lob over Goff's head. Siniaková gets there, goes cross court with a forehand. Big forehand up the line, down the middle, in fact, from Paolini. Good hands from Goff at the net. Irani tries to put it away and goes long. Oh, they got away with that one.
They did, because Irani was poised. It was a great move from the Italian, but she just put the smash long.
Paolini up the ante in that rally. The big forehand down the middle, and finally the drive volley goes long. Escape for Siniaková and Goff. Goff crouches on the centre line. Siniaková ready to serve at Juice. Spins it to the backhand of Paolini. Net cord from Goff, and then that ball just sits up and Irani puts it away. The ball boys hurl the balls at each other from 5 yards along the ground. I don't think they have to do it that fast. It's a bit strange. But they're very good. They don't spill them very often. Very efficient. Good serve from Siniaková. Lifted by the forehand of Irani, who's now coming forward. She's going to put the volley away, as you know. Goff stands tall. Now Siniaková carves a backhand up the line. Paolini there, lob from Siniaková's just long, and that is the break back for Irani and Paolini. 2-2.
We saw a great example there of the great hands that Irani has. She's got a wonderful feel, doesn't she? Even when the ball is being hit at pace, she has the ability just to soften her hands and create something very special.
2-2 in this first set of the women's doubles final. That beautiful morning here at Roland Garros. Paolini serves. Forehand return goes long from Goff. And it's 15-love. The crowd, as yesterday, for the men's doubles final, which was held after the women's singles, is really filling up, as I said, almost the whole of the lower bowl full. And a great ticket for grounds pass holders, and a great move by Irani at the net to pick off the backhand volley. She moves right across the court on the backhand return of Siniaková. Punched the volley away. It's 30-love.
Thank you, Diana, for your email. She just sent us a lovely message to thank us for a great fortnight. Well, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Serve from Paolini at 30-love. Wrong footing volley from Siniaková. Nicely done. Back to 30-15. Slap of the racket on the boot of Siniaková. Tall check. Standing with it on the angle to return the serve of Paolini. Just moves right inside the baseline. She's got 1 foot inside the baseline, 1 out. Now both inside as she waits for a second serve, which sits up to be hit. The backhand is good from Paolini, and that little move from Irani just threatening to intercept, made Siniaková overdo the backhand, and it's 40-15. Net player has such a role to play in these doubles matches. If they just stand still and hope the ball comes to them and deal with it that way, they're not really influencing what's happening in the point. If you make a hint to move or you start to move, you just put a bit of doubt in the